إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, we would like to discuss a topic. يعني, it is actually the second issue that Shaykh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah is addressing in these four questions that compose the essay which is known today as Al-Wasiyyah Al-Sughra. The concise legacy or advice for uprightness of the religious and worldly life. And before we enter into that topic, which is dealing with the dhikr of Allah, we want to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week in lecture number 9 from the study guide. First question being, clarify how the comprehensive meaning contained in the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, how it is contained in the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani mentioned in the Quran in the 4th surah, 131st ayah. How is the comprehensive meaning contained in the hadith of Mu'adh, how is it contained in the wasiyah of Allah in this ayah in the Quran? Now,
It's contained in the comprehensive meaning of the hadith of Mu'adh because containing in taqwallah contains everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, as far as what's wajib and what's mustahab, and everything that he prohibits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the hadith, there are various things that deal with the hukuk of Allah, the rights of Allah, and the rights of the ibad. So,
Taif. Anybody add anything to that? No.
The good deeds.
Taif. Yani, the point that he's saying is that the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu contains yani instruction of observing taqwa of Allah, the rights of Allah, and treating the people with good behavior. And يخالق الناس بخلق الحسن. So these two, yani the rights of Allah and the rights of the people, are included in the hadith of Mu'adh. He's explaining what? How is that contained in the ayat where Allah just says, and He has commanded us to observe taqwa of Allah? And that is because the word, the expression taqwallah, it includes in it the doing of everything that Allah has commanded. Yani, whether it is from those things that are wajib or those things that are mustahab. And it also includes everything that Allah has prohibited, whether it is tahrim or tanzih. Yani, what Allah has absolutely prohibited or that which He has discouraged. And this, yani all that Allah has commanded and all that Allah has prohibited, this combines within it the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. Because from the rights of the people is treating the people with good manners, with good behavior. And that is included in what Allah has commanded in the Quran. Okay, so this ayah in the Quran, yani entails the whole meaning that's contained in this hadith, that is the rights of Allah and the rights of the people. The second question discussed the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which supports the same meaning as the hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu anhuma. Yani, may Allah be pleased with both of them. The hadith of Abu Hurairah. Naam, Ahmed.
The hadith of Abu Hurairah explains to us, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was asked, what is the most thing that will get you into Jannah?
Yani, what is the thing that is the cause of most people entering the Jannah, the paradise?
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, taqwallah wa husnul khuluq.
And the Prophet ﷺ said what? Observing taqwa of Allah and good character. This is the same meaning contained in the hadith of Mu'adh. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, observe taqwa of Allah in every situation or circumstance, and follow up evil deed with a good deed, and treat the people with good character. So this hadith also contains that same meaning, meaning the thing that is the greatest cause of people entering Jannah is observing taqwa of Allah and observing good character. What is the end of that hadith? Anybody remember the end of that hadith? Now, Musa.
And the thing that will mostly enter people into hellfire is the two openings, the mouth and the private.
Al-ajwafan, the fam and the farj. Yani the mouth and the private parts are the two things that mostly are the greatest cause of people entering the hellfire. And the first part of the hadith is the point that we want to make, but yani the second part of the hadith is also of great importance. The third question, explain what is intended here. When the author says, in the sahih, yani fis sahih, an Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, fis sahih. Yani when the author says, fis sahih, an yani Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, what does he mean by the expression fi al-sahih? Nazirudin.
Most cases it means sahih will mean from Bukhari and Muslim, but here it means an authentic hadith outside of Bukhari.
Okay, here the author means fi al-hadith al-sahih, an authentic hadith, وَإِنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ, even if it's not in the two sahihs. Yani, often the scholars when they say fi sahih, they mean one of the two, the sahihain, al-Bukhari or Muslim. Yani, that is in one of these two books that specialize in only narrating that which is sahih. But sometimes when they say fi sahih, they mean a hadith that's authentic, even if it's not in Bukhari or Muslim. And that is what is intended here. Yani this hadith is not in sahihain, but it is an authentic hadith. Question number four, memorize the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma concerning iman and husnul khuluq. Yani the hadith of Abdullah, Naam Mustafa. The most complete of the believers in faith are those that have good manners. Anybody remember it in Arabic? Nobody in the back? Ibrahim.
في صحيح عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل المؤمنين إيمان أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا.
نعم. أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا. And this is a very, very important hadith that is worthy of being memorized. Question number five. Discuss the erroneous understanding of some people concerning the above hadith of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. Yani what? Is the erroneous understanding that some people have of this hadith. What have people said about this? Naam. I'm sorry, Abu Jamil. Al-Muhim Husnul Khuluq. Al-Muhim for Deen, yani the thing that's important in Deen is having good character. Yani they think that the meaning of this hadith, that the most perfect of the believers in Iman are those who have good character, they are understanding this to mean what? That the only thing that's important is good character. And this is absolutely erroneous. You want to add to it, Ahmed?
And they downplay the importance of Tawheed when they wrote al-ilm and all the other.
And some of the people mentioned this hadith in their attempt to mislead the people into believing that studying Tawheed and learning Tawheed and teaching Tawheed is not important. And they say, it's not, all this Tawheed is not important. What's important is what? Husnul Khuluq. And this is a deception from the shaytan. Naam, discuss, yani the question number 6 and 7 really originally was one question. So I'm going to combine them together. Right? And then we'll try to answer it, yani, as best we can. Question number 6 says, discuss the author, rahimahullah's statement, which illustrates the relationship between khair, goodness, and ikhlas. Yani, the author, that is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, his statement that illustrates the relationship between khair, goodness, and ikhlas. And the second part of the question, question number 7, mentioned the two essential components of ikhlas that are referred to here by the author when he talks about the relationship between khayr and ikhlas, what are the two essential components of ikhlas? With one delil from the Quran. Now, Abdul Ibrahim.
The author, he said, to make sincere your worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone.
To make your worship sincerely for Allah alone.
And to make sincere your isti'ana in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you seek aid and help, you seek aid and help with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And also seeking aid and help from Allah alone. Anybody want to add to that? Now, what's the relationship between yani ikhlas and khair? Yani the Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that ikhlas is the asl. Yani he said, yambur al-khair, yani the source, the spring of all khair is ikhlas. Yambur al-khair wa asluhu. Yani the source, the absolute source of all khair and the foundation of it is ikhlas. Yani ikhlas of the abd for his rabb. Yani making everything for Allah alone. Yani ibadatan wa isti'anatan. The two components that we're looking for here is what? Ibadah and isti'anah. Yani the ikhlas here, the two essential components of ikhlas here means the worship, the ibadah has to be sincerely for Allah alone. Yani that you worship Allah and don't worship anything besides Him. And the isti'anah, seeking help or aid or assistance, has to be from Allah alone. That you seek help from Allah and no one besides Him. And this meaning, these two components of ikhlas are found in the Quran in somebody. Naam, yes, yeah, Mustafa. In Surah Al-Fatiha, Jazakallah Khair. Which ayat? Somebody know which ayat? Naam. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Yani, Iyaka, you alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He could have said, Na'buduka, we worship you. But He said, Iyaka na'budu. Yani, you alone do we worship, excluding everyone and anything else. So the worship is for Allah alone. وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And you alone we seek help in yani performing that worship exclusively for you alone. We need your help to do it. And these are the two essential components that's found in this ayat and throughout the Quran. Naam. Naam. Go ahead. Yani, meaning? That is my Rabb, Allah, naam.
Upon Him I have trusted, and to Him I return.
Yani, upon Him I have trusted, meaning I rely and depend and trust in Allah alone. And to Him I return. Yani, with obedience and submission and worship. Naam. Question number 8. What must one do with the heart if one is to achieve the ikhlas with its two essential components as mentioned above? What must one do with one's heart in order to what? Achieve this ikhlas with these two essential components. Yeah, Elihu.
Disconnect.
Disconnect, yes. Disconnect the heart from the people, from the created beings. From the created beings, from everything other than the Creator. Naam. Such that
we must lose all hope, we must lose all hope from what's in their head, basically not to believe that they have any benefit that he could receive from
the not seeking any benefit from the created beings, naam.
Or not doing any deeds for the sake of them.
Nor doing anything that we do of good for the sake of the human beings. Yani meaning that the person is yani whatever we are doing, we have to do it for Allah alone. The heart has to be disconnected from doing anything for the people. Disconnect the heart from doing anything for the people. But rather should be done for Allah alone, and disconnect the heart from desiring or seeking or expecting anything from the people of benefit. Rather, expect it, anticipate it, and seek it from Allah alone. You want to add to that? No.
You should just make your concern about Allah.
And that's the end of what he said. وَيَجْعَلَ what? وَيَجْعَلَ الْعَبْدِ حَمَّهُ حَمَّتَهُ رَبَّهُ. And to make his every concern, yani his Rabb, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all attention should be directed towards Him. And the last question mentioned, the author, rahimahullah, his closing statement about ikhlas, confirming the utter importance of understanding and implementing it. Yani understanding ikhlas, the importance of understanding ikhlas and implementing it. Naam. This was the Shaykh, he closed with this statement. Nah, fadla.
Was it the same way he said when that ahkama.
Naam.
Okay, when whoever actualizes this with knowledge and amal, then there is no way to characterize what will meet him from khayrat and thamarat and all good.
Naam.
About him.
من أحكم هذا؟ يعني أحكم والإخلاص علما وعملا meaning knowing what is إخلاص having knowledge from the Quran and Sunnah of what is إخلاص who knows? People might think anything is إخلاص people are thinking they have إخلاص they are thinking that they are Muslim, مخلص, مؤمن and they worship, they are calling on other than Allah they are going to graves and they are doing whatever and so on يعني a person have to have knowledge of what is إخلاص علماً وعملاً whoever أحكم هذا and he does it well thoroughly perfects it and he having the correct and complete knowledge of إخلاص and then acting upon it implementing it then this person لا يمكن أن يوصف ما يعقبه ذلك and it's not possible to describe to imagine what this إخلاص knowledge and acting upon إخلاص will bring to him the fruits the benefits the effects the great things that will come to him as a result of يعني knowing what is ikhlas and then acting upon it, living by it. This is what we talked about last week. And tonight, يعني we want to continue with this topic. Just quickly, if you're reading with us from the Arabic explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad, Hafidhahum Allah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. And we're reading from the bottom of page 42 up until page 46. From the bottom of page 42, and the text starts at the bottom of the page. And if you're reading from the first English translation, Danny, that was first published in 95, this one, then we're going to be reading, Danny, the subject is on page 16 through 18. But we're just going to be open the subject, introduction to it. In any case, we may look at, Danny, some of it as an introduction. From page 16 to 18. And if you're reading from Dar es Salaam edition of the book, then this subject that we're going to begin tonight is on page 51 through 57. From page 51 through 57. And it's entitled, After the Obligatory Acts, the Best Actions is the Dhikr, or Remembrance of Allah. Now keep in mind that we are not reading from the English translation, so yani, sometimes you may find it a little difficult to follow, because we're reading the explanation, right? But in any case, the sum total of what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of classes is contained in this topic, yani in the original translation from 16 to 18 and Dar es Salaam edition from 51 to 57, the remembrance of Allah. And let me just say, yani that tonight the topic that we're going to talk about and based on this question or the introduction to the answer to the question, the second question that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah addresses is the excellence and the superiority of the righteous deeds, voluntary deeds, which are done after the fulfillment of obligatory duties. And the topic is what? The excellence and the virtue of doing righteous deeds, voluntary deeds. After having fulfilled the obligatory duties. Meaning that, yani the obligatory duties, we're not going to talk about it, right, in detail, but that comes first. That comes first. That's automatic. After we've done that already, now we want to know, so now of obligatory duties, what's good to do? What's the best of what one can do? We're also going to talk about, yani, in light of that, the importance of the obligatory duties being followed by voluntary deeds. But first, establishing the obligatory duties, we're going to talk about wilaya, yani the station or the status of the people who have iman and taqwa, yani that Allah mentions in the Quran, when He says, "Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun." Yani isn't it so that the awliya of Allah, they will have no fear nor will they grieve? They are those who believe, and they are those who observe taqwa. These people, the awliya of Allah, the people of iman and taqwa, we want to talk about what is this wilaya and the two darajat, the two levels of the wilaya of Allah, the people who are in this station of being from the awliya of Allah. And we want to talk about the reality of this, of the wali, of who is a wali. And we want to talk about the falsehood of the claim of some people who claim for themselves that they are from the awliya of Allah. just to kind of put it in focus, and this is going to be our topic this evening. We begin by praising Allah, يعني الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. فيقول شيخ الإسلام أحمد بن عبد الحليم بن عبد السلام بن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى في وصيته. يعني شيخ الإسلام بن تيمية, he says in his wasiyah, يعني the wasiyah أبو القاسم السبتي. يعني in some of the books is written with fatha, but in reality, يعني the correct spelling is كسر السبتي رحمه الله. And he asked four questions from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. And we finished with the first question, yani that is, what are the things that can help a person to be upright in their worldly life and in their deen? Now Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah goes to a second issue. He says, وَأَمَّا مَا سَأَلْتَ عَنْ أَفْضَلِ الْأَعْمَالِ يعني الْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ بَعْدَ الْفَرَائِدِ. Yani as for what you have asked, he's addressing Abu Qasim al-Sibti, as for what you have asked about أفضل الأعمال, the best of righteous deeds after the obligatory duties. فإنه يختلف باختلاف الناس فيما يقدرون عليه وما يناسب أوقاتهم. So in this question, the people differ. يعني the people are different in terms of their ability, what they have the ability to do, and what is suitable and appropriate in reference to their time, the time that people have to do something. لا يمكن فيه جواب جامع مفصل لكل آية. So it's not possible to give an answer that is comprehensive and detailed for every individual, because it's different from one person to another depending on people's differing abilities and people differing يعني time, the time that they have or the opportunities that they have يعني during the course of their day and their life and so on. لكن مما هو كالإجماع بين العلماء بالله وعمره أن ملازمة ذكر الله دائما هو أفضل ما شغل العبد به نفسه في الجملة. And this is the core of the answer, يعني, and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, even though we can't give a comprehensive answer, that's for every individual, but what we can say, يعني, something that is like pretty much agreed upon, consensus upon it, إجماع amongst the علماء بالله وبأمره, وبأمره, meaning, علماء بالله, those who have خشية of Allah. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. يعني the first meaning here, the ulama of Allah mean those who have fear of Allah, who observe fear of Allah, who glorify and exalt Allah. And the second meaning, the ulama of the بِأَمْرِهِ, يعني those who have knowledge of the amr of Allah, meaning the command of Allah, the lawful and the prohibited, the ahkam, the laws that Allah has legislated. And these ulama are not necessarily the same. يعني there are ulama who know fiqh and halal and haram and all of that, and they may not be from the people who Allah is talking about. He said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And the people who have خَشْيَ of Allah, they might not be the same people. But certainly there are some scholars who have خَشْيَ of Allah, and they have knowledge of Allah's ahkam, His laws and rules too. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is referring to those scholars. And the scholars who have خَشْيَ of Allah, and they also have knowledge of the laws of Allah. And this is pretty much agreed upon amongst these scholars, that adhering to, clinging to, sticking to the ذكر of Allah, دائماً, all the time. This is the best of what an abd can busy himself with overall, fil jumla. This is the best thing that a person can busy themselves with, the remembrance of Allah. Wallahi, this is sufficient in and of itself. What Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah said here, this is sufficient in and of itself. If a person takes this seriously and then begins to learn how to be engaged constantly in the remembrance of Allah, then that's sufficient for anyone. If you understand the real meaning of this. So he says after this, وعلى ذلك دل حديث أبي هريرة الذي رواه مسلم سبق المفردون قالوا يا رسول الله ومن المفردون قال الذاكرين الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات. يعني what indicates this, that this is the best of the virtuous deeds that a person can do, بعد الواجبات, after you have fulfilled the obligatory duties. Obligatory duties more important than anything, but after that, voluntary things, the best thing that a person can do is to engage in remembrance of Allah. And he said, what indicates this, that this is the best of all deeds, is the hadith of Abu Hurairah, reported by Imam Muslim, that the mufarriduna, yani, the mufarrid means the munfarid, the person who is alone. The mufarriduna, those people who are alone. Yani, they're alone in what? In their station, in their status, in their remembrance of Allah. They are alone in that. There's no other people like them. these people who engage constantly in the remembrance of Allah, the way Allah has legislated it, then these people, they have sabaqah, they have outdone everyone. They have outstripped everyone. They have taken the lead. They are out ahead in front of everyone, alone, by themselves. Nobody's in a race with them. Huh? That's sufficient for us. If we can understand that. Who are these mufarridun? He said, الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرة. Yani the men and women who engage constantly, frequently in the remembrance of Allah. وفيما رواه أبو داود عن أبي الدرداء رضي الله عنه تعالى. He said, يعني وفي, and also in that which is narrated from, in the Sunan of Abu Dawud from Abu al-Darda radiallahu anhu, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, أَلَا أُنَبِّهُكُمْ بِخَيْرِ عَمَالِكُمْ وَأَزْكَاهَا عِنْدَ مَلِيكِكُمْ وَأَرْفَعِهَا فِي دَرَجَاتِكُمْ وَخَيْرٍ لَكُمْ مِنْ عَطَاءِ الذَّهَبُ وَالْوَرَقِ وَمِنْ أَنْ تَلْقَوْا أَدُوَّكُمْ فَتَضْرِبُونَ أَعْنَاقَهُمْ وَيَضْرِبُوا أَعْنَاقَكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالَ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this tremendous hadith, shall I not inform you of the best of your deeds and the most pure of your deeds with your king, inda malikikum, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa arfa'iha fi darajatikum, and that which will raise your levels or your degrees with Allah the highest, yani that which will raise you up to the highest levels, and that which is better for you than giving gold and silver in charity, and that which is better for you than meeting your enemy while you are striking their necks and they are striking your necks. What's better than all of this? They said, tell us, what is it? And the Prophet ﷺ said, the remembrance of Allah. والدلال القرآنية والإيمانية بصرا وخبرا ونظرا على ذلك كثيرا. And the Shaykh, he says that the evidences of this that's in the Quran, and the الدلال الإيمانية, the evidences that come from Iman, the Iman that's in the heart of the Abd, the evidence that's based upon Iman in the heart, whether it is يعني بصرا, that which the heart sees, witnesses, or khabaran, that which is narrated, yani from the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or nadharan, that which is contemplated upon or understood by reflection, the evidences from these sources are kathira, many. Then Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, and we're not going to any go into the details of these things tonight because this topic is going to take a few classes, but in any case we just want to try to put the topic in focus. He said the least of what a person can do in order to establish this, yani to be from the mufarriduna, and those who remember Allah much, the least that one can do is that the abd must stick to the adhkar, the words of remembrance that are ma'athura, that are narrated from the teacher of khair, that is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the imam of the people of taqwa. And those are the adhkar, and in the book here it has a mistake, it says kal adhkar al warida fi awal al nahar wa akhirih, it should be kal adhkar al muaqqata, not يعني الواردة المؤقتة يعني وقت يعني مؤقت يعني from that its time is designated, the adhkar that are legislated at certain times, like in the beginning of the day and the end of the day, meaning adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa, in the morning after fajr until sunrise, and in the evening after asr until sunset. Or if you miss those times, at least any time in the morning and any time in the evening. Yani these adhkar are critically important. At the time of a person going to bed, at the time of a person waking up from sleep, these adhkar are critically important. At the endings of the salawat, yani adbar salawat, meaning after the congregational prayers. Wal adhkar al-muqayyada, and likewise those adhkar that are yani restricted, that are specific to certain actions or occasions, like what you say at the time of eating, drinking, dressing, sexual intercourse with one's spouse, entering the house, the masjid, the bathroom, and coming out of those places at the time of rain and thunder, ila ghayri dhalik, and other such occasions. And there have been books written by the scholars of Islam that are called Amal al-Yawm wal-Layla, yani books of adhkar. Then he said, not only those specified times and occasions, but he said, ثُمَّ مُلَازِمَةُ الذِّكْرَ مُطْلَقًا, yani adhering, sticking, clinging to the remembrance of Allah, yani mutlaqan means without any restriction to time or place or occasion, just remembering Allah. yani all the time. And the best of these dhikr, yani that are mutlaq, that should be said at any time, in every situation and occasion, is to say, La ilaha illallah. That there's nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah. What better word can a person say to remind themselves, if it's from their heart, that they are constantly saying, in every situation or circumstance, wherever they are, whoever they're with, private, public, or whatever, they're constantly reminding themselves, yani not just from the tongue, but from the heart, with full consciousness of the meaning of what they're saying, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And if a person is getting ready to say something evil, or do something evil, or have evil thoughts, and they are consciously saying these words from their heart, there's nothing that deserves to worship except Allah. This has to have effect in changing a person's behavior. If this doesn't change someone, then they are a shaitan, because shaitan is created to do evil. But the human being is not. This is the best of what one can say. And the Shaykh, he says, and this is so beautiful, he says, but there are certain situations or circumstances that may occur, in which case the other adhkar, like Subhanallah and Alhamdulillah and Allahu Akbar and La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, may be better than saying La ilaha illallah. There are certain occasions or situations or circumstances which yani, we'll talk about yani, in the coming classes. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he begins by praising Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and bearing witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners, and bearing witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his abd and his rasul. And then he makes dua, yani somewhat lengthy dua, yani for the salat and salam to be upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, and that Allah teach us that which will benefit us, and that he benefit us from that which he teaches us, and that he increase us in knowledge. And these supplications are very important, but we don't have time to discuss them in detail. So please think about them, reflect upon what is being said here. He said, O Allah, do not make that which we are learning to be a proof, or make that which we are learning to be a proof for us and not against us. And is that what we are learning? It should be a proof for us, meaning make it so that we act upon it. Not a proof against us, such that we learn it and then we don't act upon it. And O Allah, guide us all to you, to the straight path, and correct and rectify all of our affairs. Ya Hayy, Ya Qayyum, Ya Dhal Jalali wal Ikram. And after this, he says, O noble brothers, and we say, sisters also. Yaqulu al-Imam, Shaykh al-Islam, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. He says, and as for what you have asked about, here, وَأَمَّا مَا سَأَلْتَ أَنْتَ أَنْتَ, here, this pronoun, dhamir, it goes back, as it is well known, to the sa'il, the questioner, Abu al-Qasim al-Sibti, rahimahullah ta'ala. What you have asked about, he's talking to Abu al-Qasim, that which he has requested from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah is that he write for him a comprehensive advice, wasiya jamia. Wa haddada ma arada min Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala an yusiyahu bihi. And he has also specified exactly what he wants him to advise him about. He has specified details of what I want from you, what I want you to talk about. And Abu Qasim al-Sibti, he was a scholar himself. So even his question is a scholarly question. He's clear on what he's asking. Some people ask a question, you don't know what they really want. You have to ask them, what do you mean? What do you? And because if you just answer, you'll answer 10 times before you figure out what they're really looking for. But the scholar, he's asking the question to a scholar. وَكَانَ مِنْ جُمْلَةِ مَا قَالَ السَّائِلِ. كَانَ مِنْ, instead of مَا, should be مِنْ. And from, amongst those things that the questioner asked, he said, وَيُنَبِّهَنِي عَلَىٰ أَفْضَلِ الْعَمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ بَعْدَ الْوَاجِبَةِ. That you bring to my attention, bring out, yani the best, make me to know the best of righteous deeds after the obligatory ones. Yani after we have established fulfillment of the obligatory duties, what is the best of good deeds that can be done? Here Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah begins to clarify this affair which he was asked about by the questioner. Here the Shaykh says, وَتَأَمَّلْ رَعَاكَ اللَّهِ. May Allah protect and preserve and guard you and take care of you. He said, reflect, contemplate, think over this question. الذي يدل على عظم مكانة الفرائض في نفوس هؤلاء ومكانتها العالية. يعني look at this question and how it indicates or points to the magnificent station or status of the obligatory duties in the souls of these people. Yani the people in the past. Yani the question and the people from those generations who are upon the true Islam. This question points to the magnificent station or status that the obligatory duties were held in the soul of these people. And its very lofty high station. That the obligatory duties have a high, lofty station. That to some of the people today, even the performance of Salat is not that important. We have people who say that they're Muslims and they don't even pray. Or they pray sometimes, once in a while, now and then. Meaning the obligatory duties, the fara'id of this deen, there are no other actions that are preferable to them. Rather, the obligatory duties are muqaddama. They are given first place. And with them we begin. And nobody should busy themselves with voluntary duties, given that preference over the obligatory one. بَلْ يُبْدَعُ إِنَايَةً وَإِحْتِمَامًا بِالْفَرَائِدِ وَالْوَاجِبَاتِ. Rather, we begin with giving our care and full attention to the obligatory duties, the mandatory, yani, obligations. And then after that comes the mustahabbat, yani the commendable, beloved things. في درجة الثانية بعد الواجبات. Yani the second stage, second level, second place is yani the commendable deeds, praiseworthy things that are not obligatory after the obligatory duties. ومن الخطأ الفادي أن يشتغل إنسان بنفل على حساب فرض. And this is a tremendous, grave, serious mistake that a person becomes busied with voluntary duties على حساب فرض. Yani at the expense of the obligatory duty. Now a person is so engaged in trying to do some virtuous voluntary deeds that it distracted them and preoccupied them from the obligatory duties. This is a grave mistake. This is a grave mistake. Yani a person is praying sunnah prayers, they enter the masjid while the obligatory prayer is going on. How is the sunnah prayer more important than obligatory prayer? Joining the congregation. And this is yani ongoing, constant, these kind of things. This is a grave mistake. وَقَدْ قَالَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ. Yani it is said that some of the scholars, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, مَنْ اشْتَغَلَ بِالنَّفْلِ عَنْ الْفَرْضِ instead of عَلَى عَنْ الْفَرْضِ فَهُوَ مَغْرُورِ وَمَنْ اشْتَغَلَ بِالْفَرْضِ عَنْ النَّفْلِ فَهُوَ مَعْذُورِ. Yani whoever has occupied himself with a voluntary deed that distracted him from an obligatory deed, فَهُوَ مَغْرُورٌ. He is misled, deceived, lost, astray. But whoever has occupied himself with an obligatory duty that distracted him from a voluntary duty, فَهُوَ مَعْذُورٌ. Then he is what? Excused. He's excused. Because the obligatory duty is more important. So if it's preventing him from doing a voluntary duty, no problem, he's excused. But the one who didn't do an obligatory duty because he's occupied with a voluntary duty, فَهُوَ مَغْرُورٌ. He's deceived, lost, astray, misled. And this is because the obligatory duty, هُوَ الْمَطْلُوبُ أَصَالَةً. This is what is originally required of you. This is what the abd will be called to account for if he abandons it. And this is what he will be punished for if he abandons it. And this is a rule in usul al-fiqh. Yani that one of the definitions that they give for the wajib is that what? It is that which you will be yani punished for if you leave it. You will be punished for it. As opposed to a voluntary deed, you will be rewarded for doing it, but you will not be punished for leaving it. It's not obligatory, aslan. As far as the nawafil, فَإِنَّ شَأْنَهَا أَنَّهَا تَزِيدُ أَجْرَ الْعَبْدِ وَثَوَابَهُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Yani what is the condition of the nawafil, voluntary duties? Yani their affair is that they increase the reward of the abd, their recompense with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani doing the voluntary duties gives you an increase. But what you have to start with first is the obligatory duty. So if a person missed something from the voluntary duties, لا يحاسب ولا يعاقب عليه, then he will not be called to account. He will not be punished for leaving off that voluntary duty. فَهِيَ يُثَاب فَاعِلُهَا. And this is also from the rules of usul al-fiqh, that the definition of the nafil or voluntary duty, هو يثاب فاعله. The one who does it will be rewarded. وَلَا يُعَاقَبْ تَارِكُهُ, and the one who abandons it will not be punished. So if a person is occupied, yani with the voluntary duties, given that precedence over the obligatory, any obligatory duty or any yani fard or wajib duty, then this is a type of deception, misguidance, a person who is lost and a grave mistake. Then, al-ba'th, fa'idhan al-ba'th fil nawafil. And so what we are looking at now, we're talking about, the question is related to what? Voluntary duties. That's after we establish that obligatory duties have precedence and have to be attended to and given full attention before we even think about voluntary duties. But what we want to talk about, yani he's saying, our research now is about the yani nawafil, voluntary duties, yani marhala ta'ati ba'da al-inaya bil-farad. Yani this is a stage, attending to the voluntary duties is something that comes after giving attention to the obligatory duties. And this is what yani Abu Qasim was asking about, bring to my attention the best, the most preferable of yani virtuous deeds after completing the obligatory duties. The Shaykh, he says here, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مُتَقَرِّبٌ بِشَيْءٍ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الْفَرَائِدِ. And this is a statement that's based upon the hadith that he mentions after this related to the wali of Allah. Who is the awliya of Allah? And what is the reality? And what are the degrees of the awliya of Allah? In this hadith that he's going to mention now. First he said what? That there's nothing that a person can, that who wants to get near to Allah can get near to Allah with that is better than the fara'id. There's nothing to get nearer to Allah better than the obligatory duties. And for this reason it came in the hadith, the sahih, that's known amongst the scholars as hadith al-wali. It's known amongst the scholars as what? Hadith al-wali. If you want to know who are, yani men hum al-awliya, who are the awliya of Allah, then read this hadith. Take this as a benefit, he said, O brothers, so that no one who could be deceived will be deceived by some of the claimants, yani the imposters, al-ad'iyya, yani those who claim something that they don't have any right to, claim to be a wali. Take this as a benefit so that people will not be deceived by the claimants. Because this wilaya, yani there are some people who claim it. They say, I, and I, to the end of what they say, the claims that they make. But this hadith is well known. It is in the Sahih of Bukhari. And it is known amongst the scholars of hadith as hadith al-wali. Hadith al-wali, what is the meaning of hadith al-wali? What is the significance? Why have they given it this name? إِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْرِفَ الْوَلِي مَنْ هُوَ. If you want to know who is the wali, مَا حَقِيقَةُ الْوَلِي, what is the reality of this wali, مَنْ هُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ, then read this hadith. Read this speech from the Prophet, yani that's conveyed from the Prophet in this hadith, which is a hadith Qudsi. Yani read from the speech of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which will uncover for you and make clear to you and clarify who are the awliya of Allah. This hadith, the Shaykh repeats, has become well known amongst the Ahlul Ilm as hadith wali, and that is because it makes you to know who is the wali. It is a hadith Qudsi. Yani the speech in this hadith is the speech of Allah the Rabbul Alameen. It is narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from his Rabb Jalla wa Ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this hadith Qudsi, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ أَذَّنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Yani whoever treats a wali of mine as an enemy, yani shows enmity towards him, goes to war with him, yani a wali of mine, then I have announced to him war. Yani Allah is at war with him. It is as though it was said, who is the wali? So it came as clarification in this hadith from the speech of the Rabb al-Alameen, in this hadith Qudsi, that he said, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا, whoever shows enmity, hostility, treats as an enemy, a wali of mine, yani a person of iman and taqwa, فَقَدْ أَذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, then I have announced war with this person. And then Allah says, and this is the first degree of wilaya, the first level of the awliya of Allah, in this hadith came here. وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي من ما افترضته عليه. And my abd, my worshipper, my slave, my servant, worshipper, ما تقرب إلي, does not get nearer to me with anything that's more beloved to me, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, than that which I have made obligatory upon him. And if there's nothing that you can get near to Allah with that's more beloved to him than that which he made obligatory upon you. So anything else that you want to do besides the obligatory duties, know that the obligatory duties is more important according to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the thing that's more beloved to Allah if you want to get near to him, fulfilling the obligatory duties. And this, the second degree of the wilaya, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. And my abd continues, yani after he gets near to me by fulfilling all the obligatory duties, he can get near. He can continue to get nearer to me by doing the voluntary deeds. حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until I love him. He gets so near to me until I love him. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمَعُهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِي. And if it reached this point where Allah loves that person, because of what? Because they fulfill the obligatory duties and they continue to get near to Allah, after that, by voluntary duties, then Allah loves them. كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ. Yani if he loves him, he said, then I become his hearing which with he hears. وَبَصَرُهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرَ بِي. And his sight with which he sees. وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And his hand with which he strikes. بطشا, نعم. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّذِي يَمْشِي عَلَيْهِ. And his feet that he walks upon, that he walks with. And finally, in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِنْ سَعَلَنِي لَعُوْتِيَنَّهُ. And if he asks me for something, I would definitely give it to him. وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَاذَ بِي لَعُوْعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he seeks refuge in me, I would definitely grant him refuge. This is a tremendous hadith. Yani the explanation of this hadith alone would be a treasure. Right? But, فالحديث, this hadith makes clear who is the wali, yani with a full clarification that there could be no increase upon. In it, it contains that the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are on two levels, ala darajatain, the awliya of Allah on two levels. All of them are the awliya of Allah, however, yani, lakinnahum ala darajatihim, but each one is in its level. One of those levels is higher than the other level. The first level, ad-darajatul ula, in the wilaya, darajatul awliya, the first level of the levels of the awliya of Allah is al-muhafadha ala al-fara'id. Yani those who guard and protect and preserve the obligatory duties. Yani the obligatory duties in Islam. The yani mandatory things of the deen. And al-bu'd an al-muharramat. And those who distance themselves from those things which are haram. And this is the first level. The first level are those who guard the obligatory duties and distance themselves from that which is haram. And this is understood from the hadith what? وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And there's nothing that my abd can get near to me with more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory upon him. This is the first level, first darajah. So if the abd is muhafizan ala farad al-Islam wa wajibat al-deen, who's guarding and protecting, fulfilling all the obligatory duties and responsibilities, mubta'idan an al-haram, and distancing oneself from that which is forbidden, فَهُوَ مِنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. Then indeed he's from the awliya of Allah. And vice versa, right? The person who is not doing so, then they are not from the awliya of Allah, no matter what they claim. So every believer can be from the awliya of Allah. These are not just special people that fly in the sky and walk on the water. These are the people who have iman and taqwa. Everybody's capable of that. Naam, this is a high station. Yani of a person that Allah becomes their hearing and their sight. And Allah, if they ask for something, Allah gives. And if they seek refuge in Allah, Allah grants. What more could a person ask for? So this, the Shaykh, he says, وَهِيَ دَرَجَةٌ مِنْ دَرَجَاتِ الْوِلَايَةِ. This is one of the levels of wilaya, and it is called دَرَجَةُ الْمُقْتَصِدِينَ. دَرَجَةُ, yani the first level is دَرَجَةُ الْمُقْتَصِدِينَ. Yani those who take the middle course. As some of the scholars said, meaning they fulfill the obligatory duties and they avoid the things that are haram. Without necessarily doing the extra voluntary deeds and avoiding the makruh things. But rather, what's haram, they abandon it. And what is obligatory, they fulfill it. These are people who took the middle course. Yani they took the bare minimum. And these are from the awliya of Allah. Naam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to them and the other level, those who superseded them, who went further. Allah refers to them in the Quran in Surah Al-Fatir, 35th Surah, 32nd Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. Then we have given as inheritance the book. And we have given it to those we have chosen from amongst our ibad. He has given inheritance, the book, the Quran, to those who we have chosen from our worshippers. And three groups of the people, two of them are from the awliya of Allah. The first of them, وَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِي, the one who wrongs his own self. Meaning he doesn't fulfill all the obligatory duties. He doesn't avoid the haram things. He is a zalim to his own self, a wrongdoer of his own self. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِد, and this is the one from amongst them, are the muqtasid. Yani meaning they took the middle course. They at least avoided all of the haram and they fulfilled all the obligatory duties. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. And from amongst them are those who are foremost in doing good. And Allah said in the end of this ayah, and the Shaykh didn't quote the whole ayah, it's very important, end of the ayah, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ سَابِقْ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. Don't imagine that if you outdid the rest of the people, that's because you're great. Rather, it's by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, muqtasid, yani the first level, huwa alladhi, he's the one who gets near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by fulfilling the wajibat and the fara'id, obligatory duties, and he doesn't let any obligatory duty pass him by. And he doesn't engage in any prohibited deed. And here, I want to mention, yani, that if you have the book Shajarat al-Iman by Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, you can go back and find this discussion concerning this topic in some detail. Yani meaning the levels of yani those people mentioned in this ayat, the zalim li nafsi, the one who wrongs his own self, the muqtasid, and the sabiqun bil khayrat, that these are yani all of them are from the people who are from the ibad of Allah. Yani the believers who engaged in haram, they're still from the believers of Allah. But yani they are not from the awliya. The Shaykh, he says, so this is the yani a wali, one of the awliya of Allah, yani this on this level, and this level is the level of the muqtasideen, yani those who took the middle course, the bare minimum. And the second level in wilaya is arafa'u min hadhihi darajat wa a'la, yani which is raised higher. It is a higher level. It is the level of the muqarribin. Muqarribin. Or مقربين, مقرب, نعم, مقربين. And this level is pointed to in the Hadith Qudsi by the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَخَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِذِ, that my servant continues to get near to me, meaning to go to a higher level. After fulfilling obligatory duties, he takes it to a higher level by adding, yani, to the obligatory duties. First, he adds it, yani, voluntary deeds, meaning after fulfilling obligatory deeds. And after guarding and preserving the obligatory duties, he continues to get near to Allah by voluntary deeds until Allah loves him. So when Allah loves him, and Allah says, and so when I reach the level where I love him, then I become his hearing with which he sees, and his eyes, I mean his hearing with which he hears, and his eyes with his hands with which he strike, and his feet with which he walks. And if he asks me for something, I will give it to him. And if he seeks refuge in me, I will, and he grant him refuge. That is that Allah, the meaning of this is what? Allah yusaddiduhu fi sam'ihi wa fi basrihi fi yadihi wa qadamihi, yani mean Allah guides him, directs him to that which is right in his hearing, by his hearing and his sight and his hands and his feet. Allah directs him to hit, to meet the mark, to be upon that which is correct. فَبِاللَّهِ يَسْمَعُ وَبِهِ يُبْصِرُ وَبِهِ يَمْشِي وَبِهِ يَبْطُشُ, yani so that by the help of Allah, by the assistance and aid of Allah, he hears yani that which is right, and he sees, and he walks, and so on. He is mu'ayyadan, he is aided by Allah. Musaddadan, yani put on the correct path by Allah. Mu'anan, yani also, yani given aun, help from Allah. Muwaffaqan, granted success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. And their supplications are mustajabat, yani are answered. If they ask Allah, He gives them. And if they seek refuge in Allah, He grants refuge. These are the awliya of Allah. They are these people. And this has become clear in this great hadith that these people are on two levels. The darajat al-muqtasideen, and those who guard and protect the obligations of the deen, and they distance themselves from those things which are haram. And then, higher than this is darajat al-muqarrabeen, and those who are near to Allah, and they are those who, yani, guard the obligatory duties, and then they increase upon that, yani, tasabuqan, yani, they are, what, like in a, what do you say, huh? Race competition, right? They're competing. They're not satisfied with this level, but they want to take it to a higher level, and they do that by what? Nawafil, ragaib, mustahabbat. Yani, those things that are, we're encouraged to do. Those things that, the desirous good deeds. Yani, the beloved things to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hadith makes clear for the human being who are the awliya of Allah, and who are those claimants, imposters, who claim to be the wali of Allah. And this is important because the ummah has been afflicted with people who claim for themselves the wilaya of Allah. Claim that they are from the awliya of Allah. And they are speaking about this, and they are pointing to themselves, saying that they are the awliya of Allah. And this is, yani, this is with, yani, keeping in mind that what? And the wali of Allah is sadiq la yuzakki nafsahu. Yani, the true wali of Allah, he doesn't claim righteousness for himself. He doesn't say, I am from the awliya of Allah. This is very important. That we be careful that we don't start making claims about ourselves. Telling people that I'm this and I'm that and I'm the other. And I'm better than this and I'm better than that. And I'm weird. No, you're not all that. Just you, a humble servant of Allah. If you did some good, thank Allah. Whoever did good, فَلْيَحْمَدِ Allah. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam narrates in Hadith Qudsi and another Hadith Qudsi, yani whoever found good, then they should praise Allah. And whoever found other than that, فَلَا يُلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَ. If you found other than good, then blame only yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning the real awliya of Allah, He says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Yani, and those who give that which they gave, yani of charity or whatever they gave, while their hearts, they gave in the way of Allah, but their hearts are full of fear, knowing with certainty, أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ, that they're going to return to their Lord. These are the awliya of Allah. That when they do good, they don't feel like I made it, I'm over, I'm saved. They feel like they're in fear. Yani, will Allah accept from me? Have I done it sincerely for the sake of Allah? Yani, they are not proud, they are humbled, even when they are in the midst of doing good. Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the meaning of this ayah. And she said, O Messenger of Allah, is this a man, yani, who has this fear in his heart that he's going to return to Allah? When he gave some charity, he has fear because he was committing zina, and because he was stealing and killing, and therefore he feared that he's going to be punished. Is this the meaning of, yani, the saying of Allah, that they, while they are giving, yani, they are those who, while they give whatever they give, their hearts are in fear of Allah, knowing that they're going to return to Him. Is this what the meaning of it? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, O daughter of As-Siddiq, yani, daughter of Abu Bakr As-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. Rather, this is a man who is praying, and who is fasting, and who is giving charity, and he fears, يَخَافُ أَلَّا يُقْبَلْ. His fear is what? That all the good he's doing, maybe it will be accepted. And he don't be so confident. Allahu A'lam, what will be our condition? Allah save us from the evil of our own selves, and from hypocrisy, and lack of sincerity, and doing things in a way other than way Allah has legislated it. Abdul ibn Abi Mulayqa, rahimahullah, from the scholars of the Tabi'een, he said, أَدْرَكْتُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ 30 صَحَابِيًا كُلُّهُمْ يَخَافُ النِّفَاقَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. He said, I met more than 30 companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and all of them were fearing hypocrisy upon themselves. Not hypocrisies that they were a disbeliever, not that hypocrisy, but hypocrisy of action. Were they doing everything purely for the sake of Allah? And Allah Jalla wa Ala says in the Quran, another proof against these people who claim wilaya for themselves, yani ascribing to their self-righteousness, Allah says in the 53rd surah, 32nd ayat of the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. do not declare or ascribe to yourself purity or righteousness. Allah knows best who has taqwa. And so what is important here, the shahid, is that our ummah has been afflicted with people claiming that they are awliya of Allah. They are saying to those around them and their followers that I am from the awliya of Allah. And perhaps they are even saying I am from the special ones from amongst the awliya of Allah. Not just regular awliya, but the highest class of the awliya. Some of them are saying that. وَهُوَ لَا يُصَلِّي. While he doesn't even pray. And it has been said, or if it is said to him, I'm sorry, he said, I skipped a little bit, he said, and they are saying other than that, yani other things about themselves, and then his actions, yani, collect two evil, very disgraceful acts. As-sawa al-ula, the first disgraceful act that he's doing, while he's claiming righteousness for himself, is that he abandoned some of the obligatory duties. He is abandoning some of the obligations of the deen, some of the obligatory duties of Islam. Some of them who claim, falsely claim that they are awliya of Allah, it has been mentioned concerning them that when he stands up, when the iqama is made for the salah in the masjid, he stands up next to a pole while his followers are praying and he doesn't pray. And if it is said to him, why are you not praying? He says, أنا من أولياء الله سقطت عني التكليف. And I don't need to pray, I'm from the awliya of Allah. Responsibility to fulfill these things have been removed from me, has been dropped from me. I'm above that level. I'm not on the level like you guys. You all have to pray. I arrived already. And perhaps he might even say to them, look, Allah said in the Quran, وَعَبُدُوا رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. Allah has said in the Quran, worship your Rabb until certainty comes to you. He said, I have arrived at this level of certainty, I don't need to pray. So he doesn't pray. And by the way, if you read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and I don't have time to read it tonight, but I'm just going to read one statement from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir concerning this ayat. He said that, yani amongst other important things, the most important of them, he says, this ayat is a proof of the error of the malahida, yani those heretics, those people who have, you know, went against Islam, even though they claim to be Muslims, that yani their claim that the intended meaning of yaqeen, yani wa'budu rabbaka hatta ya'ti yaqeen, they said it means al-ma'rifa. When you come to a certain level of knowledge or acquaintance with Allah, yani that's the yaqeen. They said that this is the meaning of it. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says that, so whoever, they say whoever reaches this level of ma'rifa, then the taklif, the responsibility to fulfill obligatory duties, is dropped from him. Ibn Kathir says, wahada kufrun wadalalun wajahlun. This claim is kufr. It's misguidance and it's pure ignorance. And then he goes on to say that the prophets of Allah, they were the best of the people and they were still praying and doing all the obligatory duties until they died. Please go back to the tafsir of Ibn Kathir and read it in detail. This is the summary of what he said. And also, this is the Surah Al-Hijr, 15th Surah, 99th Ayat. 1599. And worship your Lord until the yaqeen comes to you. Ibn Kathir says the meaning of this is al-maut, until you die. Worship your Lord until you die. And this is a proof also that a person has to continue praying and worshiping Allah with obligatory duties, no matter what their condition is, as long as they're alive. As long as they still have their mind, even if you can't stand, you can't bow, you can't sit, you can't talk or whatever, you still have to pray. You still have to fulfill the obligatory duties according to your ability. And also some of them are not fulfilling the other acts of worship like Hajj and Umrah and Tawaf. And we're going to just take a few more minutes and try to finish as much as we can of this. And some of them are not even doing the other duties, acts of worship. And to such extent that it is said, يَقُولُ بَعْدُهُمْ. And this is recorded in their books, the books of the people of falsehood and misguidance, of khurafa, yani super false superstitions, beliefs. This is recorded in the books, the Shaykh said. He said he read it himself. It's in their books. They said that indeed the Wali as-Sadiq, the Wali as-Sadiq, the true Wali, his station, his maqama is too great for him to go to Mecca and make tawaf around the Kaaba. He's too great for that. He's too great to pray. So what else can you expect from these people? They say that his station is too high for him to go and make tawaf around the Kaaba. بَلْ الْبَيْتُ هُوَ الَّذِي يَأْتِي إِلَيْهِ وَيُتُوفُ بِهِ. Rather, the Kaaba has to come to him and make tawaf around him. This is recorded in their books. This goes to show you, Akhi, the favor of Allah and His blessing upon the people who have been guided to the Sunnah, that you have been saved from pure nonsense. This they have written in their books, and people believe it, that this guy, he's so great, the Kaaba has to come to him if he wants to make tawaf. The Kaaba makes tawaf around him. And based upon this which is written in their books, this deviation and corruption and superstition and misguidance, in some of the books of fiqh, people have been deceived by this being placed in some of the books, yani, by this foolishness, that they have made it a fiqh issue concerning this falsehood, this foolishness, this nonsense. Qalu, yani, they said as a fiqh issue, if the Kaaba goes to make tawaf around one of the awliya of Allah, so where do the people then pray? What do they pray towards if the Kaaba left its place and went someplace to make tawaf around somebody? So the author of the book said, لِلْعُلَمَاءِ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَسَأَلَةِ قَوْلًا. The scholars have two sayings concerning this issue. The Shaykh says, give me the two sayings. As far as the first view, they said, فَإِنَّهُمْ يُصَلُّونَ إِلَى جِهَةِ الْكَعْبَةِ بِاعْتِبَارَ أَنَّهَا الْأَصُلُ. Yani that they face the direction of where the Kaaba originally was, because this is originally the direction that we pray towards. And because the people don't know where the Kaaba is at in the world. Did it go, for example, to India or Africa or other than that, to the lands, to one of the awliya of Allah? The second opinion of this nonsense, yani, according to them, from the people of knowledge, is that it's obligatory upon the people to search for the Kaaba. Where did it go? To ask about it. And then, when they find it, to face it wherever it's at. These are the two sayings of the Ahlul Ilm. They say, all of it is based upon khurafa, superstition, falsehood, and dalal, that the people have been deceived by. And all of this comes under the name of what, O brothers, he said? Under the name of wilaya, that they claim that they are from the awliya of Allah, playing with the deen of Allah, playing with the obligatory duties of Islam, of the deen of Allah, playing with that which a person uses to get near to Allah, the obligations, the salat, the hajj, the umrah, and other than that. All of this is propagated, yani promoted, amongst the ignorant common masses of the people under the guise of wilaya, that they are from the awliya of Allah. And they say that the station of the wali is too high to go to make circumambulation around the Kaaba, but rather the Kaaba should come to him and make circumambulation around him. While at the same time, don't they know? I'm saying this. Don't they know? The Shaykh says, "Ma anna Sayyid al-Awliya," yani the leader, the master of the awliya of Allah, the imam of the people of taqwa, the best of the worshippers of Allah, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi, he made, that is the Prophet, made tawaf around the Kaaba, miraran, not naharan, miraran, many times. Four times he made umrah and hajj, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the farewell pilgrimage, he made tawaf around the Kaaba, many times, the Prophet of Allah. And they say, but their station is too high to make tawaf, but the Kaaba comes to them, it didn't come to the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These people are claiming that the station of the wali is higher, is too high for them to go and make tawaf. So if this, the wilaya has come to this point, that it became what? Abandoning obligatory duties. This is one, yani, serious evil. That wilaya, it came to be what? That a person has the right to abandon obligatory duties. Wasawa al-ukhra, and the other grave, shameful, disgraceful evil that they engage in is committing the muharramat under the name of wilaya. This is from another direction, meaning that some of these people are doing haram things under the guise that is permissible for them because they're from the awliya of Allah. And the details of this, the Shaykh said, would make the heart of a believing soul bleed and pain. However, we say, حَسِيبُهُمْ Allah, yani Allah is the one who will take account of them. The haram, yani the ijram, the crimes that they commit, and the evil that they do in the deen of Allah, yani that the things that they are practicing, the sins that they are committing in the name of wilaya, Allah will call them to account for it. So we leave these people and their misguidance on one side, and we will go on, yani, with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حيث يبين لنا في هذا الحديث القدسي, where he makes clear to us in this hadith Qudsi, and what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم narrates from Allah, from the speech of Allah himself, makes clear to us who are the awliya of Allah, and that the awliya of Allah are on two levels, as far as those who neglect the obligatory duties and who engage in the haram things, then these people are certainly not from the awliya of Allah. And the wilaya could never be, a person cannot have this status by abandoning, neglecting the obligatory duties, nor can they ever reach such a status by engaging in that which Allah has made haram. Therefore, this hadith restricts, it defines, it makes clear for us who are the awliya of Allah, rightfully so, haqqan, and in truth, sidqan. This hadith makes it clear. So here we close with the saying of the Shaykh, that this questioner who has been given success, that is Abu Qasim al-Sibti, rahimahullah, in his seeking, his request from Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah to make clear to him the best of good deeds after the obligatory deeds that Allah has given him success in, the question itself, the way he asked the question, shows that he knows the importance of the obligatory duties and that voluntary deeds come next. Meaning that it is agreed upon that the fara'id or raka'is were usus, and they are the foundations, the pillar of support, the post that holds up something, and that it is absolutely necessary to guard and protect the obligatory duties. So therefore, this question now, it will discuss what? The voluntary duties after a person has completely fulfilled the obligatory duties, because the obligatory duties are the pillars, the a'amida. They are the pillars that the deen is built upon, as the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith Sahih, Buniya al-Islam ala khams, shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammad rasulullah, wa iqam al-salat, wa ita'i al-zakat, wa sawmi ramadan. That Islam is built upon five, meaning pillars, foundations. The testimony that nothing is deserved to worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and the establishment of the Salat, and the fulfilling of the Zakat, and the fasting of Ramadan. These are pillars. These cannot be abandoned, otherwise the structure will fall. The example of the one who wants to give care and attention to nawafil, voluntary duties, while they have neglected the obligatory duties, is the likeness of a man who builds a building of 6 stories or 7 stories or more than that, and he gives all of his attention to the muhassanat, the mujammalat, the beautification, the adorning and beautification of the building, but al-a'amida laysat bi shay, but he has no foundation. He builds it without a foundation. Then this building, التي شُيِّدَتْ وَزُيِّرَتْ وَزُخْرِفَتْ وَجُمِّلَتْ سُرْعَانْ مَا تَنْهَارْ. This building which has been beautified and decorated and adorned, very quickly, it will collapse. لِأَنَّهَا لَيْسَتْ قَائِمَةً عَلَىٰ عَمِدَةً, because it doesn't have any foundation. And then the Shaykh recites some poetry, and I don't like poetry, but لَا بَسْ, the meaning of it is, وَالْبَيْتِ لَا يُبْتَنَىٰ, that a house is not to be built except upon foundations. وَلَا إِمَادَ, and there is no foundation except that وَتُرْسَ أَوْتَاد, except that the stakes or the poles are firmly entrenched in the earth. A house is not built except with foundations or poles or pillars, and there are no pillars except that they are established firmly in the earth. And the Shaykh says, and we stop here, the fara'id, the obligatory duties, they are the foundations, the pillars, and the deen is built upon them. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As-salat imadud deen." The salat, it is the what? The pillar, the foundation of the deen. Naam. Any question? About something that we discussed tonight, that is something that's not clear.
We have a couple of minutes.